All right, welcome back to episode 4 of The Berg Show. I'm Sean Conn here with my good buddy Mike P.
And Cup champs.
P, we are Stanley Cup champions. What do you think, buddy?
Champions, man. And I got to give a quick shout out to our longtime listener, Klein. Thanks for having us over.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Adam.
Cup celebration, that was awesome. But what can you say? Game 7 against Detroit, we beat them, we drank from the cup. I mean, it's making me... You can't say anything. It's indescribable.
We are Stanley Cup champions. It was a fantastic season. I think, like we said, we never really gave up the faith, and I think a lot of Penguins fans didn't either. It was an unbelievable season, but now all eyes are focused on the repeat.
Future.
And there's a lot of questions going into 2009, 2010 for the Penguins. The Penguins have the 5th least cap space of any NHL team going into the offseason. They have a lot of key players from the cup run, like Rob Scuderi and Ruslan Fedotenko, coming up for new contracts, as well as Bill Guerin. And so who's coming? Who's going? Let's talk about that today. And maybe we should lead it off with the man you just mentioned, Billy G.
All right. I think Bill Guerin's going to stay. And I know he made $4.5 million last season, and he's going to have to take a significant pay cut, probably $2.5 million, maybe $2 million, a lot less, probably for a two-year deal.
Well, first of all, maybe let's explain how much room the Penguins have going into the offseason, how much cap space they have, maybe in comparison to other teams. Let's maybe explain the market out there before we get into
now,
all this.
Now, it's a little deceiving because people say, oh, Miroslav Shtan's coming off the books. Peter Sikora's coming off the books. Fedotenko's coming off the books. Hal Gill's coming off the books. Boucher's coming off the books. That's almost $12 million right there, more like $10 million. But the thing is, Malkin is getting about a $6 million pay raise. So most of that salary is just going out the window. Not really. I mean, he's probably right now the greatest player in the game. So
right, but he made a lot less actually this season. He didn't make
a little bit less than $3 million. Next season he makes about $8.7 million. So it's a pretty big increase,
and that continues throughout the length of his. He has 5 more years on his contract. So basically, it was backloaded. So the Penguins are going to actually have considerably less cap space and room to work with this offseason. So how much money do we have to spend?
About $7 or $8 million, but it's probably closer to $6 million now that we signed Goligoski.
And just for comparison, $7 or $8 million, that's about what Sidney Crosby, one player, makes for us in one season. So we really don't have that.
Or Danny Briere.
Or Danny Briere in Philadelphia. So even more shocking. So now maybe the Pens fans should be even more worried. But so basically we have three big holes to fill. We have to fill the top spot, maybe.
Top line winger, maybe,
if Bill Guerin leaves. But theoretically, top line winger, second line winger, unless we re-sign Fedotenko, and a defensive defenseman penalty killer role, because Rob Scuderi, with his performance in the finals, is probably going to get more money than the Penguins can pay. I'd say he's probably going to get around 3.75.
Yeah, I mean... you hear this on the internet all the time, but I wholeheartedly agree. Jeff Finger, another well-known defensive defenseman who kind of had a breakout year in his contract year, much like Scuderi, made $3.5 million on the open market when he was a free agent.
Yeah, last season. So
you have to think Scuderi is going to get comparable money, and frankly, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I hope he takes care of his family. He hasn't made much his whole career.
Yeah,
so.
But I think with Goligoski getting the contract, getting the three-year deal, for about 1.8 a season, I think that means Rob Scuderi's probably out the door. I don't think
Hal Gill is. He's farther out the door. He's down the road.
Hal Gill is in the Monongahela River right now, paddling towards Long Island or maybe Los Angeles or some other team that's going to probably sign him for too much money. But so let's talk about the top line winger position. Look, for years now we've heard we need a winger to play with Sidney Crosby. We need a winger to play with Crosby. And we had one in Bill Guerin, and now it seems like he might be out the door. What do you think about that?
My gut feeling is he's going to stay, and here's why. A very, very, very similar situation happened this offseason with the Blues in Keith Tkachuk. Very comparable numbers last season, very comparable salary. He's pretty much the same role. Around the same age.
Yeah, very
same role, veteran, plays in front of the net. he took a $2 million discount to stay with the Blues for a one-year deal. I can see Guerin doing the same thing for about 2 years. So
I don't think we'll sign him to a two-year deal, though? A guy that old in his late 30s like that?
I think Guerin wants a two. I think all indications after the Cup was he wants a two-year deal.
Yeah, Keith Tkachuk signed a one-year deal for $2.15 million. Now, if we could get Guerin for that money, that would be unbelievable. But, you know, I don't know, Pete. Part of me says, yeah. I mean, he has a family who clearly embraced the city of Pittsburgh during the playoff run. His four children and wife came to almost every game during the playoffs. And I think they really like Pittsburgh. And it's hard not to like playing on a line with Sidney Crosby. But on the other hand, I think here you have a guy in his late 30s that just won the Stanley Cup. He will go down as a legend in Pittsburgh if he walks away and goes to another team. And I don't think anyone would blame him at this point for taking the money.
Yeah.
What does he have to gain here in Pittsburgh? I think he, at his age, you know, I mean, can you play at that level? I feel like
I think the role of Guerin in the locker room, taking the pressure off Sidney Crosby, was the biggest thing. Yeah, Crosby had almost as many points last year, but if you look at it, they're all mostly assists. He had so many more goals. I think it allowed him to be a little bit more loose in the locker room, and that's what everyone says. But the reason that I think Guerin could go, and the only reason is, I mean, $2 million is a lot of money any way you slice it. People can say, oh, he's made this much his whole career, but I mean, would you turn down $2 million?
Especially as a hockey player.
Yeah.
It's not like you're in the NBA where in your first contract you make enough money where you're set for life. I mean, we're talking $2 million a year here, and that's before taxes and everything. I mean, Bill's probably made a lot of money now over the course of his career, but you have four kids that you have to put through college, like
exactly.
I think you said before.
Yeah. And the only reason, and Colin was saying this cements his legacy, if he leaves, he'll be a legend, but I think if he stays and wins more cups, then he might be a Hockey Hall of Famer. Then he might be an all-time great. You
good
know,
point,
that's something where I think that both of those arguments hold water, but I think that why would you not stay if you can win more Stanley Cups here? I mean, the only thing I think it comes down to is money, and I'm not saying a person's greedy for taking more money. You and I, or anyone out there, I think in reality, would probably take more money.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like we hear about this every offseason. You know, a lot of people in the media think, well, you know, maybe players will take a discount to stay in a certain city, and it seems like 9 out of 10 times they don't. They take the 0.5 or $1 million extra to play in even, you know, bad situations like Atlanta or L.A. And, you know, the exception to that rule would be Brooks Orpik, who took a pay cut to stay here. But he still even got a pretty big contract. $3.75 million a season for a guy like Brooks Orpik is a lot of money. So we gave him a pretty good contract. It's not his pay didn't go down. And that's why I think I don't see Guerin staying here. It's one thing if your pay stays the same, like maybe Ruslan Fedotenko's will, but if you're taking $2 million off the table to stay in Pittsburgh and to maybe win another cup, which is so hard to do I think Bill Guerin stays in the end? You know, my heart says yes, but my head says no.
In the end, I agree, probably. I think that he might leave because of the money, but if he does, who are we going to sign to replace him? That's the big question.
Well, that does become the big question, and I would say that this free agency season is quite top-heavy. You have big-name wingers out there like Marian Hossa, Marian Gaborik, and Martin Havlat, 30-goal scorers, all-stars out there for the taking. The Penguins do not have the money to sign those guys. Even one of those guys like Marian Gaborik is probably going to demand about $8 million a season. The Penguins already don't have enough money to pay a kind of guy like that. So the people calling into Mark Madden and other talk shows saying, you know, would it be possible for us to re-sign Hossa or get Gaborik? No, we already don't have that kind of money. What you will probably see is a situation similar to last offseason where Ray Shiro kind of hedges his bets and signs two players sort of like Miroslav Shatan and Ruslan Fedotenko, cheaper guys from maybe underperforming teams, sort of bargain deals, guys who had performed well in the past but who had maybe down years for bad teams last season.
I agree. I think you're going to see longer terms. than you did with Fedotenko and Chetan, only because on July 1st, the first day of free agency, we didn't go after anyone because we had all that money stashed away for Hossa.
Right.
We waited and waited on the first day of free agency while all these wingers, even the mid-level wingers, guys making around $3 million, got snapped up. Like Michael Ryder, for example, a guy that I thought would have fit perfectly on our top line, but we had to wait till the second day when the pickings were slammed. We kind of had to go. But, I mean, there's some guys that I think could be even better than Bill Guerin. Like, Alexei Kovalev is a perfect example. Has Pittsburgh ties, made about $4.5 million last year, but probably going to see a big, big pay decrease because of the way that his season kind of ended.
And yeah, but you know what, Pete? He was
hoping for that. Yeah,
he was an all-star last
but
season.
But come on,
he
we can't talk about all-stars with the way the voting went. If anyone,
okay, but still, I think GMs regard him pretty highly. He is a sniper. Yeah, it would be his slap shot with Sidney Crosby on the same line would be unbelievable, with Crosby feeding him some one-timers. Kovalev's slap shot was legendary in Pittsburgh. I mean, it would be fantastic.
One of my favorite players.
Great, but he's old, and I just don't think that's a Shiro move. One guy you mentioned before, though, is a possible replacement, and this would be pretty much my fantasy pickup for the Penguins this offseason, would be Mike Camilleri, a winger and a possible center from the Calgary Flames, who will be available, who has fantastic numbers. Maybe
he's a great player, but I just think he's going to command too much in the open market, because basically here's how I look at the free agents this offseason at winger, okay? You have the top tier. Let's say there's tiers of three. The top tier, Hossa, Gabrick, Havlat. Then the second tier, Kovalev, Tanguay, and Camilleri. And Camilleri's a guy that can play center or wing. He's a guy that can take faceoffs. He's gritty. He's good. He's skilled. He does everything, really, and I think he's going to command a lot in free agency, because the thing is, there's a lot of teams that are haves, but there's way more teams that are have-nots.
Quite a few teams who have enormous cap room. You have, I think, seven teams with more than $20 million available going into the free agency season, and only really three of them are cup contenders. You have Montreal, Vancouver, and Chicago with more than $20 million available. But I think Chicago has to pay a lot of those
young guys
that they have a lot more money. So really, you only have Montreal and Vancouver with a lot of money going in. The rest of the teams are markets like Phoenix, Atlanta, the New York Islanders, Nashville. These are not places that true hockey players are going to want to play. So that's where I think a guy like Mike Camilleri might say, hey, I could go to Nashville.
And I forgot about the Sedins, too.
But a guy like Mike Camilleri, he might say, well, okay, I could go to Nashville. I could go to Atlanta and toil there. And I could make, I don't know, $5 million a season. Or I could go to a market like Pittsburgh with diehard hockey fans who have a real chance of winning the Stanley Cup next season. And I could take $1 million less, and I could play on a line with Sidney Crosby feeding me one-timers.
I completely understand, and I think it goes back to the same thing I said about Bill Guerin, though. Like, I'm not a professional hockey player. I don't know what it's like to hunger for the Stanley Cup. I hunger for it as a fan, of course,
You hunger for Wendy's late night. I think that's pretty similar, right?
Exactly. I just don't see how you can turn down $2 million a year for 3 or 4 years. I just don't see how $8, $10 million over the course of 5 years, that's not something to laugh at. That's a lot of money. That's a house. That's a car. That's a safe future, because people don't understand. When these guys are done with hockey, all they've done their whole life is hockey. Unless you get a role within an organization as like a hockey player, or you make good investments with your money, a lot of these guys go bankrupt and stuff.
Yeah.
So I say it's hard to tell guys to take a discount.
I just feel
especially
like
especially young players.
But you saw it with Brooks Orpik this offseason with the Penguins. He said, I actually heard him say this in an interview. He said one of the teams that was looking at him was Atlanta. Atlanta wanted to sign him, and he could have made $1 million more per season over a 5-year deal, so $5 million more to play for Atlanta. But he said he would much rather stay here in Pittsburgh, where he knew he had a chance to win a cup. And I think if a similar situation is presented to a guy like Camilleri, a guy like Kovalev, maybe.
Exactly.
They might say, hey, you know what? I'm going to take the deal in Pittsburgh for $1 million less.
But a counter-argument to that is Orpik grew up with the Penguins. He grew up with Marc-Andre Fleury. He grew up with Talbot. He grew up with Crosby. He was born and raised as a hockey player pretty much in Pittsburgh. So that I think that adds to it. These were all his friends. I heard that the day he signed, every player called him and begged him to stay. Imagine your best friend calling you on the phone and saying, man, please stay. Please. That's hard to turn away from. I think it's different for a guy like Camilleri who doesn't know anyone.
Okay, P, you just threw me the perfect alley-oop. Because one of my favorite things to talk about when it comes to sports, and especially when it comes to hockey, is the personal relationships that players have. And let's move on now to the second line.
Mm-hmm.
You have to fill a void on the second line. You can't
let...
You need a scoring winger with Evgeny Malkin's line. You brought up the personal relationships that on the team. Brooks Orpik had a very close relationship with a lot of the players. That's why he re-signed here. Ruslan Fedotenko, a lot of people don't know, is very good friends with Marc-Andre Fleury, Sidney Crosby, Maxime Talbot. He's actually very close with these guys, despite the gap in age. We were talking about before the show, Fedotenko actually goes over and he hangs out at Lemieux's house. He hangs out with Crosby, plays video games with the guys. He's very tight with them. There's a guy who I think the Penguins absolutely have to re-sign, and a guy who might take the Pittsburgh discount. He made $2.25 million last season. He played exceptionally in the playoffs. Other than Maxime Talbot and Evgeny Malkin, I thought he was the Penguins.
And Crosby.
I thought Ruslan Fedotenko was the MVP for the Pens in the playoffs. He was an unsung hero in the corners. He was fantastic in the corners.
It's hard to break up the chemistry of that second line.
Exactly.
You had a scorer like Fedotenko, a kind of grinder, corner man. Corner man, I mean a guy that plays the boards, like Talbot, who's not afraid to get hit.
Yeah, P, I just think that you have Evgeny Malkin, who just came off of a season where he was the NHL's...
best player in the league.
Where he was the NHL's leading point scorer in the regular season, and he was the playoff MVP. You can't take away his line mates. You have to keep some sort of consistency there. I thought Fedotenko worked great with him. You have to keep Malkin, Talbot, and Fedotenko together. I hope the Penguins can ink Fedotenko to a long-term deal, like a 3 or 4 year deal at about $2.5 million a season. Maybe he would take less if we gave him a couple more years and gave him some security. But you just heard today that it's possible that they're maybe looking at a one-year deal.
Rob Rossi from the Trip says he's only that Shiro's only trying to give him a one-year deal, but who knows how reliable Rob Rossi is. I mean, he's a beat reporter guy.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, why would Fedotenko go for that? He's quite old himself. I mean,
personally, I don't like it either. I don't like it either. I think we should sign him to a long-term deal. Not a long-term deal, but a 3 or 4 year deal at the same number that he's at right now. I think for continuity's sake, he's a good kind of, I don't want to say person, but a guy that's friendly with a lot of the teammates, a guy that feels a bond towards these Penguins, and also he's worth every penny. I think that for $2.25 million, Ruslan Fedotenko is a great signing, and we need to sign him. I think he's our most important offseason signing.
Yeah, I wonder how much interest he's going to get from other teams, though. I think a lot of teams, when you're on a grand stage like that in the finals and you perform, you know, we saw it happen with certain players last season, like Ryan Malone. Their price really goes up. I wonder how much interest Fedotenko's going to get. If I'm the Pens, I give him a long-term deal. Forget the one-year stuff. He's already proved himself on the biggest stage in the game.
And do it before July 1st.
And do it before July 1st.
Don't let other teams kind of entice him.
You don't want to get into a bidding war with other teams. But let's say we sign Fedotenko for 2.5. That only leaves us with about $3.5 million left to spend, and we have to secure a top-line winger for Crosby and a defensive defenseman and also some role players. So let's move on to D. We're likely going to lose Rob Scuderi. I think he's going to garner a ton of interest from teams who are going to be looking for a defensive specialist, a guy who blocks shots, a guy who can help out young goaltenders, who can really help teams stay close in games. I think a lot of those teams with big cap room, like Atlanta, are going to offer him big deals, and I don't think we'll be able to re-sign him, unfortunately. So with that said, what kind of defenseman would you see the Penguins looking at?
Well, First off, on Rod Skadarian, the guy's 30. He's never made more than $750,000 in his career, and he's due for a big contract. And if someone offers him some kind of 5-year, 6-year, 7-year deal,
he's going to take more money than we can
offer him, yeah. I can't blame him. You know, I don't blame him. I kind of feel like I look back at the Steelers' 2004 championship when Antoine Randall got that huge deal from the Redskins. No one from Pittsburgh really felt any disdain towards him. He was a great team player, loved the team, helped us win championship. What can you do, you know? If you're going to offer a guy that much money and financial security for the rest of his life, you can't blame him. He has his name on the cup. But beside that, the defenseman that I'm really excited about, there's two of them. Paul Mara from the New York Rangers and Francois Beauchemin from the Anaheim Ducks. I think both add a little bit more physicality than Skadarian, who's not really a physical defenseman, more of a shutdown guy, but uses kind of the hip check, his stick, a lot more than his body than those
right.
guys do.
These are more physical guys, guys who you might think as replacements for Hal Gill as opposed to Rob Scuderi. I think Chris Letang and Mark Eaton are going to have to both step up to take that penalty-killing role that Scuderi
exactly.
has played. A guy like Paul Mara of the New York Rangers, a guy who Penguins fans might be familiar with, a guy who actually shadowed a guy with a great beard who shadowed Sidney Crosby a lot of this season and last season, 6'4", 219 pounds, a very good defenseman. Let's see his stats this past season. He's been a plus in the past three seasons, and he's a guy who can kill penalties. He's not going to score a lot of goals for you. He averages about 2 goals a season. He'll be, I think, a Hal Gill type player with a little bit more mobility and speed.
Yeah. Defend his teammates. I don't know if I'm into the whole Hal Gill comparison. I think he fits the kind of Skidary niche that we're looking for. And I think you were telling me that Biles was actually looking to have 3 puck-moving defensemen. So that Goligoski signing kind of he's definitely going to play. He's definitely going to be a top-6 defenseman this year. He's not going to be playing in Wilkes-Barre. He's going to be a Penguin. He's going to play 82 games if he's healthy. So I think that a guy like Paul Mara or Francois Beauchemin fits the need perfectly. I like them equal to what I like Skadarian, and I think they would be a perfect fit for the Penguins. I think they're physical guys that are tough and that defend their teammates. So, honestly, the hole on D doesn't concern me that much. This is a really, really deep D free agent class in the offseason. There are so many D free agents. I mean, you don't really want to go down the list, but there's guys like Johnny Oduya, even the list goes on and on, really. There's a lot of...
Penguins fans also might be familiar
from
with.
From the Devils, yeah.
From his New Jersey Devil days. A very frustrating defenseman. And a guy who might actually, I think Oduya would be able to chip in more offensively than Mara or Beauchemin. But, I think you're going to see the Penguins sign one very moderately priced defenseman around the $1 million range, maybe even less. I think it depends how much money Ruslan Fedotenko is going to demand and also the terms of the deal. I think at this point it all comes down to Fedotenko. And here's another thing we got to think about. I think the other factor in this free agency season is what the Penguins do with their other restricted free agent, Chris Letang. And some of those other guys, in some of the fourth line guys.
Gonchar's in his last year, too. I mean, do you want to lock up Sarge? I think he was a very, very big part of what happened with the Cup season. But we need to re-sign fourth liners. We need to re-sign Wilkes-Barre players.
Right, because,
and that all goes against the cap. So, I mean, yeah, those guys are probably only making between $500K to $800K. But that kind of stuff adds up. So there's not a lot of wiggle room for ratio. And one guy that I would absolutely love to re-sign is Mike Zigomanis. He had the best face-off percentage before he hurt his shoulder. I thought he was a great fourth-line centerman. Now that Max Talbot's made the jump up to top-6 winger, you really need a centerman
to
anchor that
fourth
line. And for me, playing the boards, playing the corners, and being a top face-off guy, that's what makes a good fourth-line center.
And Zigomanis can do all that. I think,
he is that.
Yeah,
he is that.
I think the Pens will try to re-sign him before the July 1st deadline. But let's just recap. I think we still, overall, we have a problem. Because, as we've said, all right, we got Fedotenko, hopefully on the books for around $2.5 to $3 million a season.
Yeah.
We are going to sign a defenseman for around a mil or so. That eats up about $3.5 million of our available $6.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
So that does not leave us with much room. We don't have top line winger money to give out. So Ratio's got a lot of work to do.
It's time for guys like Luca Caputi. It's time for, if we re-sign Yanni Pessinen, maybe a guy like that to step up. I'm not saying they're going to be a top 12 forward. They're not going to be one of our starters throughout the year, but maybe there's like kind of a battle in camp, and then we see what happens. I mean, Caputi has NHL experience, and we might have to bring him up.
But even if you do bring those guys up, Caputi has the potential. He scored on the first shift of his first game in the NHL.
He's not Lemieux.
Yeah, but he has some potential to be a decent winger. But like you said, he's not top six. So what are the Penguins going to do if they don't get a guy like Camilleri or a big-name winger? Are they going to move up Tyler Kennedy to the first line and then plug in someone on the third line?
No, there's guys like Richard Zednik from the Florida Panthers, who's a free agent. There's guys like Steve Sullivan, who was the comeback player of the year this year, and there's going to be guys that are kind of on the cheap that you're not going to be excited about. You're not going to phone home to your mom and dad and say, hey, guess who we just signed? It's going to be a quiet offseason. I mean, we're a team that has a core of players that are great. We have Crosby. We have Malkin. We have Staal. We have Orpik. We have Fleury. And those guys, you need a lot of money.
All signed pretty long-term as well.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, not as long-term as I would like, to tell you the truth, but we still have them for at least 4 or 5 years, so we're not going to be able to sign those big free agents. We're not a team that can make a splash in free agency. But we're going to sign a guy that maybe Crosby can make a little bit better. Maybe Malkin can make a little bit better if we don't get Fedotenko. It's going to be exciting. I mean, of course, July 1st is like, it's one of the best hockey times because players are always on the move. But we're not going to be a big player in free agency. And as much as I don't like to say that, that's the truth. We're close to the cap. We have a lot of guys, young guys signed that are highly skilled players that we only need complimentary players. And they're not going to be names that you want unless they're going to take big-time discounts to come try to win a cup.
Well, Pete, I think that no matter who we sign, the lesson at the end of the day is if you have Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin and a red-hot Marc-Andre Fleury, no one, not even an extremely deep team like the Detroit Red Wings, can beat us.
Yeah.
And with Ray Shiro at the helm, I have a lot of confidence that we will make smart moves in this offseason, and the future is certainly bright.
And if you look at what happened in this Stanley Cup playoffs, we have guys like Jordan Staal, even Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, they're young guys. They're 21, 22. Jordan Staal's 20. And they showed that they are the top-tier players in this league, and they're only going to get better. Hockey players peak when they're kind of like 27, 28. Henrik Zetterberg and Pavel Datsyuk didn't win championships until they were 30. I mean, there's 8 more years between that and Malkin. I mean, even more with Staal. So no matter who we sign, no matter what happens this offseason, Pens fans, be excited. We have the top young talent in the league, and we're only going to get better.
That's right, Pete. And I think it's been a great show today. I've certainly learned a lot from you, the resident stats geek of the Berg Show. I want to thank everybody out there for listening. Good night.
Go Pens.
Go Pens.